In the name of God, our Creator, Christ our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who moves through us. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. A house divided against itself cannot stand. These are some of Jesus' words for us today from the third chapter of Mark. On Wednesday, a group of 10 of us sat in our memorial garden for art and prayer. Our art and prayer class has been meeting for about 4 months on the first Wednesday of the month at 6 to do different activities involving art and prayer, hence the name. On Wednesday, we had a guest presenter, our own Emily Edwards, who has worshiped with us and is one of our preschool teachers, to help us make mandalas. Mandalas are circular. In fact, I'm told the word mandala actually means circle. And they represent things like our center and how we're connected with the universe. And they remind us that mandalas are found everywhere in nature, from things like flowers and fruit and snowflakes and spider webs. Making mandalas out of nature items has become an important part of Emily's spiritual practice. And so she showed up with us on Wednesday to share that practice. And then 10 of us spread out into the garden to make our own mandalas out of foraged garden goods and some flowers Emily had picked up at the store. They were exquisite. They were absolutely stunning. And if you want to get a glimpse of just how beautiful these pieces of art were, you can go to our Facebook page and you can scroll down on our main page to where the MailChimp, our email server, sent out a reminder for the event. And then you can see everybody's pictures. They were beautiful. After I finished my mandala, I walked around to tour everyone else's. And I was amazed at the stories that people had to tell about their pieces. Every person's mandala had become their story. They told stories of new and old birth, of beauty and of death, of life. They some way reflected the people who had made them. Their struggles and their personalities and their prayers and their hopes and their dreams. I could not believe how beautiful the whole experience was. And then we were finished. And because mandalas are usually impermanent, it was time to clean them up and to send them away. This was the really hard part of Wednesday's experience. Really did not want to destroy my own work. Really didn't want to destroy anyone else's. They were just absolutely beautiful, and I didn't want to touch any of them. Emily and I sort of discussed how we were going to do this cleaning up. We decided at first we needed to take a picture to honor the experience. Most of the mandalas were on these sort of individual cardboard trays that Emily had brought for us, but one member of our group had actually made hers in the ground with sticks and leaves. And so it was there and couldn't be moved. So all of us that had ours on trays sort of took our trays over to hers and surrounded the whole thing with our trays of our own. We took a bunch of pictures. It was a sacred and holy moment, so I felt like we needed a prayer. We did that. The birds were chirping and the weather was beautiful and the people's faces were radiant and the spirit was moving. It was a lovely moment. But all of us stood there in that circle, still hanging on to our own individual work. I think there was a little bit of hesitation. I hemmed and hawed a little bit. I didn't want to destroy this beautiful thing. And all of us just sort of sat there, and then in an almost instinctive fashion, we decided that it would be beautiful if we took all of our own mandalas and made this sort of one wreath around the one that was stuck in the ground. So then we very carefully dumped our own pieces of forged garden and flower petals around the one that was in the ground to make this beautiful circle of love. and our prayers and our hopes and our dreams and our fears and our deep desires and our silliness made one beautiful communal love wreath. It was beautiful. It was utterly amazing. And if the individual pieces were exquisite, the new communal piece that was all put together was extraordinary. It was awe-inspiring. No words can describe how beautifully breathtaking this communal piece became. So here are two reflections from Wednesday's mandala experience and our scriptures for today. Number one, often we don't want to let go of our own individual work for God's greater good. From the minute that Eve took that bite out of that stupid apple, we have kept on doing the things that distract and separate us from God's abundant love. We often think we know what's best for us individually, what we know that we want, and what we know that we need, while God often has such a greater plan for our lives. On a very true scale, on a very small scale, this was true with the mandala. I didn't want to combine or destroy or let go of my work because I wanted to keep my own beautiful peace. When in reality, God's vision for that group that night was so much greater than my own little individual piece. I thought there was no way it could get more beautiful. I was wrong. We do that same thing every day with our wants and our desires and our wishes and our egos, which we believe that if we hold on to, will keep us safe, when in reality they are keeping us from seeing the bigger vision that God has, a vision that's bigger than anything that we could ask or imagine. In today's Hebrew reading, we read a little about how Israel was trying to do this with God. They just knew that if they had a king just like all the other nations, just like the Philistines, they could get what they want, what they wished for, what they hoped for. They could have all the prestige and power and money that all the other kingdoms have. Life would really be better if they could hang on to their little piece of the kingdom instead of embracing God's call for their life. We do that all the time, like the Israelites. We yell out, no, no, we are determined to do what we want to do, to have a king like the other nations, to have our own money and our own power, to be like all the other people. We're determined to have more stuff or hang on to our stuff. We're determined to do and have what we want, not what God wants for us. The good news about this is that God doesn't abandon us when we do this. It just hurts us a lot more. God did honor the Israelites' journey that they chose, and God's love endured. But I think the Israelites missed something by taking on their own wants instead of God's wants for their lives. Sometimes we don't want to let go of our own individual stuff for God's greater good. Lesson number one. Lesson number two from mandalas in the scripture reading for today. Our experiences are shared and they're meant to be shared. Our faithful experiences so many times are experiences within community. It's not only true that a house divided cannot stand, but a house that is truly built with the love of God and united by the Holy Spirit is completely indestructible. It's a beautiful force to be reckoned with. We see this in our reading from the Corinthians today, that it cannot be destroyed. To be united by the water and wine and wheat, to be united in communal songs and hymns and prayers and in mandalas and in life is a blessing beyond blessing and a beauty beyond beauty and a grace beyond grace. Suppose that's one of the reasons that Jesus makes the statement that he does in today's gospel about saying that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is an eternal and really bad sin. Those of us who have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus' healing, the power of Christ casting out demons in our own lives, the power of communal prayer, the power of the table and of the water, cannot deny the power of the Spirit that is shared when we come together. We cannot deny it. We cannot say bad things about it. We cannot not recognize that it's from God. For our communal experiences, our faith experiences are meant to be shared, and they are meant to share. In today's reading from the Corinthians, Paul states, "I believe and so I spoke. And we also believe and so we speak. For we know that the one who has raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will bring us into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." We are to share our experiences. When we experience the presence of God and community, we are to tell stories of how that beauty and grace and love is happening with us. We are to share those stories with the world, to invite people into them, to speak to them powerful words of God's healing and truth and love and grace. In our psalm today, we see a psalm of thanksgiving, where the Psalter voices a thanksgiving to God for answering the psalmist's plea, for increasing the psalmist's strength during a time of difficulty. For when the psalmist had walked through the midst of trouble, God protected them and kept them safe. And our psalmist today was publicly sharing that story, giving thanks and praise to God in a public sphere, so that, as the psalm states, "Everyone, all the kings of the earth, will praise God. When they have heard the words of your mouth, they will sing the ways of the Lord and the great glory of the Lord." It's a wonderful vision. The idea that by sharing our stories of God's goodness and saving power in our lives at the earth, we'll sing of the power of God. In a moment, we will gather and we will have a chance to share once again with one another in this beautiful communal experience of the body and blood of Christ. We come to the tables as our individual selves. And my hope is that we are able to leave some of our work behind and pick up the beauty and grace and love and leave as one united in the body of Christ. So let us fully be open to the invitation of the Spirit and come to the shared table of love and grace, willing and open to receive the love and community of God, which is greater than anything in which we could ask or imagine.